Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for February 6th. Is it
yes.
the 6th?
Yes.
I'm really bad with dates.
I wouldn't have known, but I just looked at Christianity Today, which says that today is the day they carried John Calvin to preach his last sermon in the chair. And then he died 3 months later.
That's amazing.
What a great way to end your ministry. He didn't go to Florida or...
What? Oh, okay, so you're going to bash our...
No, I'm just saying there was no retirement back then. You just keep preaching until you die.
And I wonder how his congregation felt about that.
I'm sure they were overjoyed.
It must have been fantastic for them.
Chuck Smith did that. He preached in a wheelchair.
Until he died?
Well, yeah, but I guess he was in a wheelchair for a long time.
So he just kept preaching.
Right.
Wow, I didn't know we were going to talk about that.
I didn't either. That just came to my head when you talked about the date. But what were we going to talk about, Sweet Princess?
We are going to talk about the Super Bowl. And then we're going to give some advice to some Valentine's Day advice. Because we're a week away. And you probably want to get your life together so that you don't blow it. Because the stakes are high. And if you do the wrong thing... your whole relationship could be over. So we're going to give some advice about that. But first, let's relive the horror that was the Super Bowl last night.
I'm surprised you want to talk about this, Sweet Princess, because you don't tend to pay much attention to sportsing.
I don't like sportsing. I don't like just myself sports. And it's difficult for me to watch other people sportsing.
But now football's over, so we can get rid of our cable.
That's great. We can join the ranks of Americans who don't like... Well, it's true. Where did we... I'm always apologizing for having cable. Like, oh yeah, we have cable, but I'm about to get rid of it. I swear I am. So really,
maybe
we will.
Maybe next week or...
Oh, next week. No, we should get rid of it today so we can spend money on something else.
That's true.
Like food.
Valentine's Day, yes.
Oh, Valentine's Day. Right.
So what did you think of the game? Were you watching? I noticed you were watching.
I mean, yeah. I was trying to watch the commercials.
Which were pretty bad this year, I thought.
It was awful.
Yeah, I
have some things to say about the commercials.
Okay. What would you like?
But do you want to talk about the game first? What were your thoughts and
It was crushing
feelings?
Despair. It was like, I was so happy when Atlanta was winning because I can't stand New England, the New England Patriots. But then everything...
All of your hopes just unraveled right in front of your eyes.
It was like Ecclesiastes. It was. It was the game was a sporting illustration
of Ecclesiastes.
Of the book of Ecclesiastes.
Well,
all is vanity.
I saw that a lot of people thought that were trying very hard to not accept it as a metaphor for the American political scene at this time, which is, you think somebody's gonna win. You're really happy that somebody's
right.
going to win. And then at the last minute, the Patriots.
there was a meme with Mrs. Clinton with her, with the Falcons. Her head superimposed on a Falcon's body.
Oh, on a Falcon's body. I missed that.
That was unkind.
Yeah, that was great. So, no, I really don't enjoy watching football. It's hard for me to understand what's going on. And also to care, which I know makes me a bad American.
Well, I stopped caring about anything after the Cowboys lost. They had done so well during the season, and they get into the playoffs, and nope.
They lose.
They had a comeback in their game, which they lost, which is also like Ecclesiastes. I think the whole thing is just, you know, we live under the sun. It's a fallen world. And so, of course, the Patriots win the Super Bowl.
The wrong...
Of course, the Cowboys lose in the playoffs after winning. All of your plans are going down to the dust, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's the story. That's the story of this football season, and the story of humanity.
The story of humanity. I mean, the story of football is the story of humanity. It's the pathos, the heartbreak, the inevitability of death.
Right.
It's all there in one game.
Right.
Then watching people receive large trophies.
Well, no, the people didn't receive them. The team owners.
Oh.
Did you see that? I saw this one. Only in America do the team owners receive a trophy.
So the people who play the game don't get anything?
I think that's the way it works. I think it's... I mean, I'm sure the owners
they give them... They get money.
Yeah, give... Let them hold it and touch it and... I don't know.
Really?
I think it goes to the owner. Because it's the owner who owns the team. If my servants win a battle...
That's like...
I win the land.
And my servants get a little shack on the outskirts of my castle.
I might distribute a few ducats for their for their trouble.
Yeah, that's horrible.
But these guys aren't making ducats, though. These are multimillionaire.
I wanted players. To know how much money the people in those black and white shirts make. What are those people called?
The referees?
The referees.
I don't know.
How that's much good... money do they
I'm sure make? They're making hundreds of thousands of dollars, though. I mean, it's not like the Little League
because
referees. Hey, does anyone want to ref this game? No, they have to be really good because if anyone is going to be hated
it's in a game,
it's going to be the referee.
If they do it wrong.
Yeah, so they have to be able to call a game.
I don't understand why you have to have them anymore because you can just watch the little drones like they're filming it. So can't the little drone just like film it and then say what should happen? Why do you have to have people there? On the ground.
Well, because the drone would have to be, the information has to be processed, or someone in a booth would have to watch what the drone is seeing and then call.
Just talk it into a microphone.
Yeah, but you can't see every angle with a little drone.
But yeah, you can. Like, that's the whole point of the replay.
But they'd have to stop after every play and do that.
Don't they do that anyway? Don't they stop after every play and take a little break and sit down and drink some tea?
No, they go into the huddle.
And hug each other. And then, like, regroup with their psychological trauma and then go back out there. Like, isn't football a metaphor for American life in general? Where we just, like, we do one thing and then we stop and we have some self-care.
They're not
some congratulations.
They're in huddles. They're in a huddle, like, talking about what they're going to do for the next play.
Why don't they already know? I don't get it.
Well, if they're in a hurry-up offense, they know. They just go right up to the line of scrimmage and start the game and start the next play. But if they're not in a hurry up, they have to. It's nice to have time to plan what you're going to do next. Don't you think? You of the many lists of every.
That's ridiculous.
Your whole life is one big huddle.
They have to consult their lists.
They have different.
They have to
different playlists if they have to. Well, nowadays I believe the coaches talk to the quarterback in their little helmet, in their helmets, and the quarterback passes on what the coach is saying. Like some quarterbacks get to call their own plays, but often the coach says, "This is what we're going to do now."
Alma just spit tea all over the thing. What's the point?
What's the point of what?
Of the quarterback then? What is he for?
Well, he's the leader of the
with the little guy speaking in his ear,
because
he can't make his own decisions.
No, he can. I think some quarterbacks get to make their own plays, what do you mean? What's the point of a quarterback?
I don't really know.
The ball down the field to another person to catch it, and if you don't have a good person who knows how to throw the ball, and who can stand in the pocket without getting sacked, or knows how to avoid being sacked. That's why you have to have big, big, huge fat guys in the front line because they keep the other big fat guys on the other side from coming across the line and sacking you.
And then at the end you get like $1 billion. That's how it works out?
Well, not in college, but that actually does.
I feel like I chose the wrong profession.
Well, these guys, but a lot of these guys don't live very long after football. I mean, not a lot, but some of them have such bad injuries, injuries.
They just die?
Well, I forgot what it's called. There's some trauma that they go through.
Like early
with their
death.
Heads. Yeah, that's why there's been the spate of
rule
changing, right? So you don't, the hitting right now in football is not as hard as it used to be. Although the pads make it.
Harder,
you have to put more energy into your hit.
Well, they should play rugby then. Isn't that essentially what it is?
What? No, it's not.
Rugby.
No, well, there's Why do you say that?
I don't really know what rugby is either. It's just, it seems more brave with the shouting and the the dancing beforehand for rugby. I guess in football, the dancing goes on afterwards.
When you win, right.
I don't really understand. I really wanted to talk about the commercials.
Okay.
Because
that was... It was great to see George Bush.
That's true.
He's very...
He looked like he was wearing a mask of himself.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a... How old is he? He's in his 90s, I think, right? Mm-hmm. So he's a...
Yeah. He's cute.
He's a former president of the United States.
I know. He's really cute. I know he is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not completely ignorant of all things. Just because I don't understand football doesn't mean I don't know who.
Let's talk George about something Bush. Else I can mansplain to you. I like mansplaining to you.
No, I really want to talk about the commercials because I was offended.
You were offended? What?
First of all, I was offended by the 15 or 100 advertisements for horror films and series. Mm-hmm. There was like, it seemed an endless supply of horror.
Mm. I'm not sure, what that was about, yeah.
There were so many. There was one almost each ad segment that I watched, and I wondered why aren't they advertising other kinds of movies and programs? Is that the only thing on the docket for this next season?
I don't know.
And why are they advertising them during the Super Bowl? So I was really glad that none of our kids were there watching. I'm not actually sure where they were, but...
They were probably watching it. A dear friend's house.
No, they weren't actually watching. They were playing.
Oh, okay.
So I was glad because some of them were really creepy.
Yeah, it was one of them. One of them had a woman in a basic naked bodysuit.
Yeah.
Was running around killing people or something.
Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, is that who that was?
Yeah.
I didn't.
She looked essentially naked.
Right.
For the Super Bowl, so that's great. But we didn't have any children with us. So that was my first. Why is horror the only option for viewing, apparently, in 2017? And then the other ad that I thought was really stupid was the Audi thing with the girl and the little car and the father's talking. What am I going to tell her? Is she, that she's going to be inferior to every single man that she ever meets.
Oh, right, right. What was that? There was a lot of virtue signaling from corporate.
From corporate office.
Yeah. That one, I think, and there was another, it was a Google commercial that had to flash the rainbow sign.
Oh,
the
really?
Rainbow flag up
I
in the.
That one.
Yeah, I saw it. But the what commercial was about?
Equal pay for equal women, or what? Wait, no, sorry, equal pay for women.
Right.
As opposed to unequal women.
So you're opposed to women getting paid the equal.
So.
Equal for equal.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Jobs.
Are you opposed to that?
No, there's no wage gap. That's a complete. That's a lie.
Why are women paid less than that?
Because they don't work in the marketplace at the same rates. They drop out to go have children, which I understand is completely unvaluable, and we should kill all the children so the women can go to work and have a real job. No, that's absurd. Women get paid at the same rates, sometimes more. They get privileged in hiring. If you're a female, good luck if you're a man trying to get the same job. I'm not buying an Audi now. I know I was going to.
We were on the edge.
We were on the edge of buying a car.
And the Audi dealership was just where we're headed. Because we have that money.
Yeah, we have money for cable.
And so thanks to your book, we can now buy
an Audi. An Audi. That's actually not true. No, we would never buy an Audi anyway, but I just think it's stupid. But sell a car. Don't sell it on the backs of bad statistics.
And ideology.
And ideology. And also, I'm sorry, is there really a single woman in America who thinks that she's less valuable than a man? If there is such a woman, I'd like to meet her and then laugh at her. Because all women are more valuable than men in today's culture.
Well, it is like the commercial was made for, you know, the 1870s.
Yeah.
If you were buying a car in the 1870s, you might consider the equality of your daughter.
Again, though, it's a car commercial. Wouldn't you just be buying the car? Why do you have to get into gender ideology? That's insane.
Although I was, this is way off topic, but I was reading a book about how much power women wielded on the plains of the Old West in the cowboy days.
Didn't they get that power through nefarious?
Yes, they did. But they had power. Lots of power. There were so few women out there that when you would go and you chose to be less than virtuous,
you could and make earn money. A lot of cash.
and then that would parlay into have like
political power.
Yeah, which in the East, a woman doing that sort of thing would never have
that much
power. But these women had power. I'm not sure where that came up, but the Audi commercials for the Old West is what.
Oh, for the Old. Well. Yeah, I mean, I understand that women don't have power in every realm of life, but honestly, neither do men. The only person with power in America today is Donald Trump and Brady. The two of them are going to get Brady. Together and
make America great
make
again.
America great again.
Make football again. Make a.
Okay, so we've brought up.
He's going to send an executive order about the number about the inflation of
football. That's really brilliant. Yeah. So, have we talked enough about football and commercials? Did you have anything else you wanted to say? Because I thought that was a good segue into...
Did you want to talk about the halftime thing at all?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, a lot of a mixed response on the internet, people were saying, oh, this is great, because she didn't actually make any political speeches, which was that was expected, wasn't it? I mean, that was...
Yeah.
Everyone kind of was waiting for her to say... something about Donald Trump or something about
I think many people were expecting part of herself to fall out of her costume.
Right.
Isn't that sort of like the regular thing?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, the song that she was singing, Born This Way, is the, you know, kind of modern anthem for the transgender
movement.
So I read
that she's actually Catholic and that she believes in God, although... That's kind of too broad to say anything about.
Yes, well.
And that is her her religious, because she's Catholic and she is embracing her Catholicism, a la Pope Francis. This is the article I read. That particular song was her religious cry.
Her religious cry.
You know, her religious... I'm religious.
Born this way.
Yeah. And it's a spiritual embracing of the LGBTQ. No, she really is like embracing that realm of in a religious way.
Oh, so she's twisting and corrupting the Christian faith by bringing a lie into it. Okay, right.
But
so
the article I read said that she's really a believer in God. They said this with glowing. But the author was very reverential about her faith, her Catholic faith, and I felt that was ridiculous and weird.
That was it a Catholic author?
He was in the Washington Post.
Okay, I'm just kind of like saying, well, Marcion doesn't agree with half the Bible. He's cut it all out of his Bible, the scissors, but he really believes in God. Or a god.
Not
the god of the Old Testament, but a different...
A god.
God, the god that he thinks Jesus is.
That particular song was a real, cry of the age. Born this way. So you can't say anything about me.
Yeah.
Because I was born...
So there was a political statement. It was just in the form of a song.
In the song, yeah.
And then the outfit that she was wearing was... it was the oddest thing I've ever seen in my life. We thought we were watching Flash Gordon at first. So... It's just weird. And then it kept getting smaller as...
Of course, it got smaller as the time went on.
As the time went on.
I thought, as usual, it was visually... I'm not allowed to say this, but I thought it was really visually unappealing. Like, the aesthetics, again, of the halftime show were...
Ugly.
It was ugly. Like, the outfits were ugly, the kind of dancing, and that's what depresses me about modern life, is how jarring, visually jarring it is. There's nothing interesting to look at. It's just kind of a visual assault, I think. And the music is so uninteresting, although it's better than, as I said on Facebook, "You're a Good, Good Father." I think it would have been awesome if she'd come out and sang that.
"Good, Good Father." What is that?
"You're it's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, right,
and
right.
I'm a something child. It's who I am.
Okay, well, Lady Gaga was more interesting than that.
She had actual lyrics.
She's smart. As a performer and a songwriter, all of that, I think she's pretty good at what she does. It's just that I wouldn't want to say that.
What she does is...
Yeah. Spiritual or Christian or...
Yeah.
Right.
No, I mean, she's a pop singer, but...
Right. And I think she doesn't try to...
So, I think the more pressing question for us today is, where was Beyonce?
She's pregnant, isn't she?
I know, but why would... She should have been in the... She should have made an...
Appearance. Was she supposed to?
No. I saw a lot of people... I saw some people on Facebook saying, seriously, where was Beyonce? This is not acceptable. She should just show up.
Didn't you, when you were pregnant, want to take off all your clothes and take a picture of yourself in a veil? Isn't that what all pregnant women want to do?
A large bank of flowers right. behind me.
Right. Because it does... You know, because everyone hates pregnant women. I mean, everyone just thinks pregnant women are so ugly. And you, by taking off all of your clothes...
Is that why she did it?
I think that's why women do it in general. Like, when you see the front cover of a pregnant woman, I think the idea is, well, look, my body is wonderful, no matter what society thinks. Look at it. Which is, I don't know... I mean, I think most men think pregnant women are beautiful. I know pregnant women get... freaked out by the fact that their bodies are enlarging. This is a sensitive topic. I should be careful here.
I know. I did not know this was on the docket.
When you brought up Beyonce, that picture was seared in my memory. She had a picture where she was...
Yeah, I think everybody's seen it. I don't think you have to describe it for our listener.
But it was there in my head. It was in my dreams. I'm not in a horrible way, but she was just...
It's sort of like a...
I couldn't get it out of my head, so I just... was thinking about it. Isn't that why women take pictures of their bodies?
I have no idea why.
Not like in a pornography sense.
Other women do things. Okay. Don't ask me questions.
But you're a woman, you should know.
No,
you have this kind
I have
of woman
no
thing
idea
going on.
Why people take pictures.
Okay, well, I've read that if it's not in a pornographic movie or something, but it's in a magazine like Esquire or, not Esquire, Time Magazine or something, that it's to affirm a woman's body image by taking off all your clothes and having pictures taken of you. And so I imagine Beyonce falls into that category. Why are you laughing at me? This is exactly...
I mean, I know that it's true when a woman takes off all her clothes, that does make all humanity respect her more. That's a fundamental truth of
exactly.
modern life.
I mean, if I didn't respect Beyonce before... Now.
I mean, how could you not? It's just like when a woman takes off her clothes and goes screaming into the street with a big sign. It makes all the men on the street value and respect
before
her.
I wasn't a feminist, but now that I've seen this naked woman with a sign, I think I'm totally changing my views. That and PETA, the naked PETA women.
That makes me love
before,
animals.
Before I didn't want to eat meat, but now that I saw this very angry, screaming naked woman...
I don't want
to. Throwing paint on people's fur coats. I no longer want to eat meat. Completely changed my mind.
Yeah. No, it works every time it's tried. Okay, I think we should stop talking about Beyonce and start giving our Valentine's advice, because this is potentially spiraling into dangerous territory.
Right. And yesterday in my sermon, I used a C-section illustration.
Yeah, I know. I felt like that was really pushing the line. Especially, I just do need to clarify for people who listen to the sermon, and they should, for men listening, the reason that women don't want C-sections is because it's actually very painful in the long run.
But not at the moment. Like,
okay, maybe not at the moment, but a C-section scar, healing from that is not no picnic.
See, you saw my rough draft and you approved the rough draft, so any mistake I made in the assumptions of...
I mean, it made sense in the context of what you were saying.
What I said was, as a man, I would far rather have a C-section. Just cut the thing out. Put me under. Put me to sleep, actually. Don't give me an epidural. I've seen this. The needle is horribly huge. Put me to sleep. Cut the sucker out. Let me stay asleep until the residual pain goes away. And then wake me up. And I'll be fine.
That's why you aren't giving birth to children.
I just don't see what the trauma is about. No.
I don't understand how you can say that and then be willing to go to war.
Well, war doesn't usually involve the kind of pain that it appears childbirth.
Like, you could have part of yourself blown up.
True. I mean, no, I'm not saying that doesn't pain. Sound... Of course, it's very painful, but there's a chance you might not, right? But see, you could go to war and come out without dying or being cut in pieces. But when you're pregnant, it's coming out.
That's
and
why...
And there's nothing. It's inevitable. It is going to happen.
And that's why it's used in the Bible as a great metaphor for the...
Death?
Well, oh no, I was going to say the end of the world where God is going to come back. He is going to come back because right. There's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
It's as it. Yes, right. That's true.
So the inevitability of pregnancy, once you're pregnant, the inevitability of, so long as the baby's healthy, of having a baby, precludes men from wanting to have babies themselves. I mean, they're happy to have their wives have babies, but...
That's weird.
And then if they were to have babies, it would have to have extreme, extreme...
Pain relief.
Very early intervention to relieve the pain.
Like months before labor. Like
take the baby out prematurely. Incubate. We should have big, huge incubators, like for chickens.
Okay, let's stop this. You're on a roll. What is your advice for a young man on Valentine's Day?
Well, if she says, don't get me anything, that's stupid. Don't believe her. I've been married for 14 years, and I've believed that advice a few times.
15.
Is it 15?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll also know how many years.
How many years you've been together. And remember the day of the moment that you met. Actually, I don't really know that day. It's fine if you don't get me anything this year.
Yeah, right.
I just want you to know that it's a work day, and it's no problem. We really probably can't celebrate because it's a work day. It's a Tuesday, so we can't go out. There's no human way that that's possible, and I don't want you to worry about it.
See, that's what I'm talking about. If you hear that, you know that you're being... This is a test. This is a marriage test. This is an affection test.
So...
If you really love her... She's thinking. You won't let her denial be.
This is why I really don't think that you can say that women don't have power, even in today's society.
Oh, yeah. They have massive power.
The very idea that a woman is somehow powerless in her relationship, because the man is always wrong. Even if he gets her something, it could be the wrong thing.
Well, this goes back to some of our relationship advice we've talked about before, which is where women tend to set little traps for men.
Men do it too.
Affection traps. So if you really loved me, and you don't say this out loud, or else that would help us figure it out, but you'd say, you have in your head, if you really love me, he would do this, or say this, or notice that I'm having trouble here and help me in this area. Mm-hmm. And the man's, thinking about...
Himself. He's thinking about himself, isn't he?
Fixing the toilet seat or something.
Oh, really? Yeah. No, he's thinking about himself and his football and his Tom Brady. He shouldn't do that. He should know. That's why I got married, because I don't know what I want and what I'm feeling and what I'm thinking. I got married so that you would tell me and know, so that I wouldn't have to worry about it, because it's really difficult to...
So our most common argument is when I notice you're upset about something... And I say, what's wrong?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing's wrong.
And that makes me, that infuriates me. Because I don't know what's wrong.
Well, nothing
and I can't
is
guess.
Wrong, so, yeah, I'm sorry, I can't help you out. Good luck to you, man.
And the fact that you don't know what's wrong sometimes.
Yeah, I usually have no idea.
That really makes me mad. I always know what's wrong with me. I always know why I'm upset. I can pinpoint something. This happened. This person said this. I have an issue with that development in my life. But
you don't know. I just sort of have a nebulous and then sense you blame of me. Unease. And it is. It's usually because you haven't noticed something. You haven't done something right. But
you know it's unfair for you to feel that way because this is the way you feel. Is that right?
Yeah, I guess I do know it's unfair. I don't like to lead with that, though. I know I'm being unfair, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. So it's very hard to say out loud what you want the other person to do for you because it ruins it.
So you can't
say. So on Valentine's Day, you can't say.
Well, what would you like for Valentine's Day, sweetheart?
I can't say, I want this color of flowers, a box of chocolate, and a large teddy bear, and a dinner out, because that ruins it.
Where should we go?
You should know that.
Where should we go for dinner for Thanksgiving?
It doesn't matter where we go. Thanksgiving. It doesn't matter where we go.
Right. Yeah, see, that's
because if I have to say where we're going to go, it ruins it. Sweetie, it wrecks the whole thing. You should know.
I'm going to plan that day down to the first detail.
To the first detail. That's the onion, right?
Right, right. Man plans romantic night out down to the first detail.
I think we should go out.
Go out somewhere.
Okay, if we have to go to Applebee's, I'm gonna commit Harry Carey. I'm not gonna be able to deal. I don't understand why you like going there, or anywhere that's a chain. What kind of person likes a chain?
It connects you to the rest of the world. Oh, God. You walk into an Uno's or an Outback Steakhouse, and you know exactly what you're going to get because people are eating the same thing in restaurants just like that all across the country. And so there's a sense of community. It's like the Anglican Church. You walk in on a Sunday morning, you know exactly what's going to happen. Well,
it's not probably true.
You used to be able to
know. Now you don't know if you're going to end up singing It's a Good, Good Father or All Glory, Laud, and Honor.
Right.
Those are two very different things. If I get to go out, I want to go somewhere interesting with interesting food that I can't make myself. So I can make everything at Applebee's better than they can.
Okay, I think part of it, okay, I'll tell you what it is. Unless I know a restaurant's really good, I don't want to go to a restaurant that isn't a chain because I'm spending money. And I want to know that I'm spending money on something that's, I know the quality of it, you know. So if we go to mom and pop's, you know, Scandinavian restaurant.
Is that a thing?
I want to look at reviews to make sure it's okay before we go. It's not that I wouldn't want to go. It's like, but if we just pop in, who knows what we'll be eating and spending wild amounts of money on.
Which is why we still have cable.
Whereas if we go to the
Because outside, we know what we're going to get.
We're going to get, yeah.
No, actually, it's horrible now.
Well, it is, but it used to.
It used to be.
Right. So now I go to Outback Steakhouse, and I know exactly
Actually, you what don't I'm go there anymore because you have six children.
Right. Well, when I used to go.
You used to go alone.
It was great. It was awesome. I had a book.
Get a large steak and broccoli, which you could make at home just as well.
Yeah, but then I have to clean it up.
And then you'd sit there and eat it. Mm-hmm. Alone.
It was awesome.
Which just...
Had a book.
I don't really understand who you are as a person. I guess I wouldn't mind going out alone, but I would never go out and get a large steak. I would get something delicious. Like pho. That's what I would do.
Steak is delicious.
It's okay. It's not that amazing.
That's
okay, so on Valentine's Day, who is it for?
It's for you.
Yeah. Like, is it a mutual? Is it mutual where the man and the woman express their devotion for each other? Or is it always a test of the man to know, to not blow it with the woman?
I think generally it's, you know, you better, it's for it's
so
the man's.
The expectations for the woman
it's an affection
are pretty
test for the man.
Not that big. Like, I don't have to do much. In fact, I've noticed in the past, I have hand-painted you some Valentines mm-hmm. that you then shoved in your drawer and poured coffee on.
I love those things. I put them. Yeah. I remember you did that for me a couple times when I was in the garden. Like on my weekends, you'd give me those cards. I love those things.
And I would think about what I was
them.
Gonna say.
No, I saved them. If I didn't save
them in, and then you carefully poured coffee all over them, so they were destroyed. So, I feel like I can't do that. I can't live up to Valentine's Day because you can't make it. You can't win, but I can't win either because I have children. So the children have expectations for Valentine's Day. Like, I don't know.
When I was a kid, I remember the biggest worry I had about Valentine's Day was, you know, was everyone going to get the equal number of cards in the class? Because we had Valentine's Day party. And so we had to make sure that everyone in the class got those little Charlie Brown Valentine's Day cards with a piece of candy in it. And so everyone would exchange things. And sometimes, you know, mothers would forget. Or
a kid.
Yeah. And so a kid would have like two or three less Valentines, and they'd figure out who it was from.
Was it always the same kid?
No. It was just... there was a little anxiety about that. I remember that when I was in junior high. Oh man, or not? Maybe it was earlier. It was in elementary. I hope everyone gives me one.
Our child just interrupted us.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything for the children for Valentine's Day. It's a school day. Good luck to them. They have to get their schoolwork done.
They're too young for Valentine's Day anyway.
What do you mean?
What?
No, well,
what
they
romance
in the past,
are they gonna have?
In the past, no, they make big Valentines to give to their friends, and I get out paper and stuff and let them make Valentines, and that's always horrible. That's always just
awful. The glitter.
A nightmare.
The glitter.
A nightmare. Yeah, it's one of the worst days of the year actually, or the day leading up to it, and then they eat chocolate. Somehow they get chocolate. I'm not sure where it comes from. And then they're strung out. Oh, that's right. Your mother sends chocolate.
Parts of chocolate.
They're strung out on a school day, and they can't concentrate. And it's really fun. It's my favorite day of the year. Just like Christmas.
We've given no advice.
So my advice is pretend like it doesn't exist. Or... you could ask the person that you're dating to marry you.
That would be...
that could be great.
Unless you don't know the answer. Never ask a girl to marry you if you don't know the answer.
Yeah.
It's an unwritten code.
I don't know, though. I think you should live on the... you know, live dangerously.
I don't. That's the most embarrassing thing in the whole world.
Just ask.
I think I would rather have a baby.
See what she says. Could be great. Take risks. On Valentine's Day... do something you've never done before. Don't send flowers. Don't give flowers. Everybody gives flowers. Except you. Get her something that's more meaningful. Like a large thing made out of fruit. That looks like flowers. That could be fun. Live on the wild side. That's my advice for Valentine's
Day. I was thinking, I mean, you have the vacuum's not really working very well. It's picking up all kinds of things, and it's getting clogged. Maybe, would you like any vacuum?
You could get me a new vacuum and running shoes. And that's perfect. So.
That would be good advice not to do that.
I have thing I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you on the podcast, because then you can't yell at me. But I think that because I'm a female, and it's Valentine's Day or any day, the only kind of flowers you can buy are red roses, because that's standard. It means something, and you bypass all the other kinds of flowers, colors, and you always just go for the red roses.
I know what those are. I know what those mean. I don't know what all the other
roses. It doesn't matter what they all mean.
It does matter what they all mean.
Not to, because I don't know what they mean. So
right, but if you say, "Oh, look what Matt gave me, these nice flowers," and they mean something like, "I'm leaving you,"
or "I'm cheating on you." Okay, but that's not. You don't need to worry about that in our marriage, because I don't know what they mean, and you can't. You should stop buying red roses. For real. You should buy other colors.
That's very hurtful.
Yeah. I thought I'd tell you on
all
air
that money,
so that you couldn't start crying.
All that money spent in the past on buying you roses that you apparently did not like.
I did like them. I did like them. I just want in this new era of honesty, because that's important for relationships. You should always tell the truth, too, about how you feel about the other person.
Every moment. I mean, whatever you're feeling needs to come out of your mouth.
Yeah. You should always be completely honest with your...
Everybody.
With everybody, but especially
everybody. Your loved one. So if you go to church and you see that someone's wearing a outfit you don't quite like, you should say, that's really a odd looking outfit. Why'd you wear that today? And then if you think someone's making a stupid point in the conversation, you should say, that's a really stupid point. Because then you're telling the truth. And the truth will set them free.
And that's important on Valentine's Day, especially if you don't tell the truth to the person that you're with about how you're feeling, about how that evening is going, then you will never be happy with them.
Sweetheart, we've been married for 15 years. Do you still think I'm as beautiful as we were the day we were engaged? And then the man should answer exactly. I mean, he should gauge every year of the wife's appearance. Well, you looked this way in 1975. And comparatively, if I were to put two pictures up, you do look like you've aged a bit. But, I love you. So I still have attraction for you. That would be romantic.
That would make for a beautiful, beautiful day. Just like when I went to the doctor and the doctor read all my weights for the last 10 years.
You did. That
20 or 15 years out loud. He read every weight that I've ever had.
Wow, when you were pregnant, you weighed this much. But then now you've lost some weight. But then, oh, wow.
It went right back up. It was back. Over and over. It just went up and down. What happened?
And we said, we had 6 kids. And he's like, wow. Not, this is not our primary care doctor. This is a person we saw in the... They had to make an appointment with, but a very nice man, but
yeah, it's
I would hate to see what he does on Valentine's Day with his wife.
With his wife.
Wow, honey, you've gained about 10 pounds since we were last Valentine's Day. What's wrong? Why is that happening? Are you pregnant?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I think we've given all the advice we can give.
So why don't you
haven't given any advice. I've given lots.
I did. I said,
Be a truth teller.
Buy vacuums or running shoes. Buy practical gifts that women like to make their housework easier.
Yeah, so in their duties around the home, they'll be able to carry on without any problems as they serve you. Because
in fact,
you have all the power.
Knowing that her happiness is so much dependent on your happiness, you should buy a gift that would make you happy. Honey, I know that you're just overflowing with agape for me.
But I decided to go out to Alba's egg house alone.
Right, because I know that your agape for me is you want what's best for me.
It feeds my soul.
And so as a gift for you, I'm going to the restaurant alone.
If you could have anything you wanted for Valentine's Day, what would it be? You better not answer wrong.
I don't know. I haven't thought about receiving it. You are my Valentine's Day gift.
That's right. We can just be each other. It's just me. I'm just the gift that I am to you. It's who I am. And I was born this way.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I hope if you see us about town on Valentine's Day, you'll give us a nod. Pray for our souls.
Yes.
And check back in next week.